On this episode of McCoy and Van Noy,
your boy Gerald and Kyle talk about the Super Bowl.
We discuss the halftime show. Was it good or was it not?
And then we say so long, goodbye, we love you.
Coming up
right now.
Yo, yo, what is going on? Welcome to a very, very special edition of McCoy and Van Noy. I am one half of your gracious host, none other than Gerald McCoy, the 93rd one of the world. Big test from the Midwest, the one that never fails. I only thrive, you know why, killer? Because I'm from the south side
of the 405.
And my gracious co-host is...
Kyle Van Noy. Two-time Super Bowl champ, one-time Pro Bowler with the Ravens, currently still playing. Let's go. Big energy. It's cold over here where I'm at, G.
Hey,
I see you're in a sweatshirt. Hey, I'm in a coat.
Hey,
it's cold.
It's cold here, man. My kids might not even have school tomorrow, man. I keep telling people Texas is a woman. It's extremely bipolar. So when I left New Orleans, it was warm. I was like, dang, all right, cool. I go to New Orleans. I'm like, you know, New Orleans, you was down there. You know how it felt. It felt good, man.
Felt amazing. We got great weather for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
just
short sleeve. Hey, let me just tell y'all something. My guy Killer was fresh to death. Let me just throw that out there. Y'all didn't get to see it, but I did. He was fresh to death. You know why? Because the weather was good. Then I land back in Dallas. I had the foresight to know, let me put a different, you know, let me try and throw a little hoodie or something on. Boy, when I tell you, I touched down in Dallas. I said, what happened here? Now the weather is doing what it wants. My kids might not even have school tomorrow because it's supposed to snow. And it's just, man. Anyway, it's a lot of sickness going on. My wife and son was sick the whole time I was in New Orleans. Kids at school got the flu and strep. It's just, it's all over the place.
Down bad with the flu everywhere. My kids had the flu. Wifey got it. But you know who did it? Your boy. I've been like, woo, 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 woo. Hey, I've been dipping, dodging and ducking that thing, bro.
Hey, boy, what? What's five rules of dodgeball? Dodge, dip, duck, dive, and dodge. Yeah,
yes,
baby.
Sir. Let's go.
Hey.
I'm looking like Floyd Mayweather in there, boy. That defense is impeccable.
I was in my boxing class today, and we worked on head movements. I said, oh, what you mean? Strep? Nah. Flu? Hold on now. COVID? Wait a minute. Yeah. Hey.
Okay. Real quick. Javonte? You like Javonte?
Yeah, Tank putting that boy down.
Oh, yeah, Tank.
He putting that boy down.
What about Canelo and Crawford?
Ooh. I like Canelo, bro. Like, I love Crawford. I love him. I think he's more skilled. But going up that much in weight class. Okay,
I know.
So when Roy
Jumping
Jones did
two?
It. Think about it. People are like, well, Roy Jones. Okay, Roy Jones fought Andy Ruiz. Big difference than fighting Canelo Alvarez.
Facts.
Arguably the greatest of this generation and one of the best of all time. Andy Ruiz was not one of the best of all time. He just so happened to have a belt. You know, so if Bud was going up and not fighting Canelo, all right, cool. But this is still Canelo. I love Bud, but it's too much. There's weight classes for a reason. So I like Canelo.
And I think I saw the no hydration clause too.
Yeah.
So Canelo's gonna be like 190.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, it's all good.
So Bud's gonna fight from 147, which he probably you think he was at like 160 before
his last fight. His last fight was 154.
Yes.
And I think before he's probably 60-ish.
So
you know, 165.
We'll give him 165, 170
to be nice. Let's go 165. Yeah.
Well, so Canelo's
going to
be...
Before the 54 fight. That's his walking around.
Yeah.
So Canelo has to get down to 68. Canelo probably walking around at 190, 185. We're probably walking around 185.
Yeah, I just don't think he's been punched by somebody like him.
Nah, and he got hit a lot versus Madrimov, but Madrimov is 154. He's not hitting like Canelo. And boxing circles think Canelo is... So that's making him a little, you know, he got a little.
Yeah.
So
all right. Well, let's get out of boxing for a second because we feeling it a little bit.
I know. All right.
We gotta dive into the season finale, bro.
This is a very special edition. We did not get a chance to talk about the Super Bowl. Before we get into the Super Bowl, my experience this year has been incredible. When we came into this, we did not know what to expect. We just knew you had two great football minds with a lot of energy and a lot to say. Very opinionated and just wanted to bring the fans into our world. And it couldn't have, I could not have imagined that it was as good as it turned out to be. The fans, the reception we got, learning from Killer, like knowing people who have won the Super Bowl is one thing, but being able to sit and learn as you guys were learning has been a completely different experience. I'm learning stuff football-wise that I'm imparting, and I work for NFL Network, so I'm listening to Killer, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm stealing that. I'm going to take that and go say that on TV. But I always credit my guy. I give him a, my guy Kyle Van Noy said, and then I, you know, just plagiarism. You know, you got to cite your sources. A lot of y'all didn't finish school. I did. You got to cite your sources. Killers, I cited the source. Yep. But I did learn a lot on this show, and I've, you know, man, I've had an extremely – extremely great season. It's been incredible all the way up until the live show finale in New Orleans. It was freaking incredible, man, and I've had a blast.
Yeah. I'm going to echo off that. I mean, I definitely got a shout out to you, G. You've been amazing. Your support this year has been unmatched. It's been more so than some of my own friends. Maybe they're not my friends, but I just want to say thank you for that. It meant a lot. When you celebrated my wins this year, it really meant a lot to me. My wife was super appreciative of it because, like, not many people do that for me. And that's fine, but I just wanted to say, like, thank you. Thank you to the guys in back, Audie and Brett. You guys have been the main ones dealing with us, our shenanigans, timing. You guys have been super professional.
No idea.
Yeah.
Gerald has been a major headache this year. I will say that. What you guys see on camera is one thing. Behind the scenes, I have been a major headache. I apologize.
You've been great. Don't do that. We all have things we can work on, right? Same with me. But I just want to say thank you for the friendship, the brotherhood that you've made me feel this year. Like, it's much appreciated, and I have nothing but respect for you. Not only the player you are, but the dad you are. You know, we just got to see a little clip of Gerald earlier this year. I think it was during the holidays. I'm not positive, but his little interaction with his kids and just being a proud dad that he was. I mean, that's what it's all about. And just appreciate you and appreciate everybody that has been a part of this. And then appreciate the fans.
Absolutely.
The fans that have been with us this year from the first show to the last show to this show. This isn't going to be done. We can definitely say that. There is to be continued, you know. This isn't a, you know, oh, we're done. This is more like a see you later. And appreciate you guys. And we're just excited for the future. We got a lot of stuff cooking for us individually as well as a team, and we just excited to get this thing started. We gonna keep that energy for this last run, though. Let's go,
hey,
G.
And speaking of unexpected, we didn't know what to expect.
We didn't.
And that segues us to this game we just watched.
Mm.
That is not what we expected. And you know what? I felt so bad that I felt like a horrible analyst. Let me tell you why.
But I kind of expected it, G.
You did pick the Eagles.
Before you go, I didn't know it was going to be the
like
score.
That. Yeah.
But I knew
you did call it.
Played
I you
both
that.
Teams, and I knew what type of both teams and how they matched up. And I feel like as a player, as somebody who also is – analyst as well playing, it's like I had a front view to both teams, right? I got to see how both of them played, their style, their tenacity, how they're both wired,
their
positives, what their strengths were. So that's why I felt like I had a really good beat on this one.
Yeah, and it was almost like if a reporter is telling you about an upcoming movie. And me, as an outside looking in, I'm analyzing, I break down movies. And I'm like, oh, well, this actor's in it and the plot says this. So I think this is going to happen, this and this. And you were there on set while they were filming. You like, nah, man, that ain't what they doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I look at it. But I feel bad as an analyst because I try and think critically and think outside the box while I'm analyzing, and I missed something extremely critical when I was picking the winner of this game. And
what did you miss?
This is what I missed, which it's obvious, but I should have picked the Eagles based off this and this alone. Back in 2020, when the Bucs played Kansas City, I told everybody the Bucs were going to win by double digits. And everybody said, you're crazy. This is Kansas City. This and this and this. The reason being, Kansas City had a makeshift O-line. They put something together and it wasn't what they usually have.
I knew that game was over as soon as I saw the starting line. And that defensive line
that the Bucs had then, the defensive line that the Bucs had then, they had Shaq Barrett, JPP, Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, Will Golston. They was dogs. And I knew they were not going to be able to control them. Now, fast forward to this year. Kansas City had another makeshift O-line with a dominant defensive line. And I said this on NFL Network, elite defensive play supersedes elite offensive play every time. You know why? You can't run the ball if the D-line is in your backfield. You can't get no passes off if you can't block them. And I said that all week. I wanted to see if they could block these guys in a critical moment. My thinking was, they ain't going to have to do it all game because Andy Reid and I. But then as a defensive lineman, I should have said, gee, it don't matter what scheme they draw up. They still got to block us. Mm-hmm. And I missed that as an analyst. So as the game's going, I'm like, gee, the blueprint was right in front of you, man. And you picked Kansas City. But killer, that just goes to show why you a champ and I'm a loser.
I think you did have it, though. I think you did have it right, though, in the sense of it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I totally agree with that. I looked at, though, the makeup of what the Kansas City Chiefs did all year offensively, how they were getting their yards, how mm-hmm. they were getting their points. They were all hard-fought points. Mm-hmm. Nothing came easy. I mean, they had every game was one-score games. And then I looked at the Eagles' makeup and how their defense is wired and how they played all season. No big plays. Everything in front. How does Kansas City play? Quick throws. Try to get missed tackles. Try to get yak. That mm-hmm. didn't align with what the Eagles did best. And that's why I picked the Eagles, because defensively, they just played the right way, the right style, with the right tenacity, and it did not match up well for Kansas City. And in that game, I feel like they exposed them really well fast. Like, I go back in the beginning of the game, and it was three and out, three and out, three and out. And I feel like Kansas City got flustered, not only as a play caller for Andy Reid, because nothing worked right off the bat. That's his mm-hmm. first 15 plays, which he took 2 weeks to prepare, which he literally took all the time and effort and energy to prepare, which that's what they rely on heavy each and every game, is that first 15. That got out of whack in the 9 plays.
Boy, so hurt. That's like your wife cooking. She didn't prep this great meal, and you come home with McDonald's.
Yo.
Like, I ain't eating that. It's like, yo. I done did all this prep, and then you come home and don't know why I eat it. That's how it was. I was like, God dang, man. You know, like, yeah, I get
it. And so when that happened to me, it was like, oh, they're flustered, because 9 out of their 15 plays right off the bat of the game didn't work, and they're already down 10-0. Mm-hmm. And then they're backed up again, and they go sack, sack, pick six. I mean, whew.
You know what's crazy is I said that the MVP was going to be a defensive player on either side. I thought it was going to be George Karlaftis if they won, because I felt like the impact of Chris Jones, George has been collecting all playoffs. So I figured he'd have a big game, maybe get a couple sacks, maybe a sack fumble. Kansas City wins. I didn't think that the offense was going to have that many yards to where it was like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is a clear MVP, or this offensive player is a clear MVP. I thought it was going to be a defensive player, period. And it could have been.
You want to know why it's not? Because of the Malcolm Smith situation.
Mm-hmm.
I love Malcolm Smith. I consider him a good friend of mine. I think he was a phenomenal player. I just think that's how the business works. Like,
you could make really good arguments for Josh Sweat. You can make really good arguments for Cooper DeJean. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't give a MVP to when we were in 2018 and we held a team to 3 points in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
what makes them want to give it to
Gilly a had team? That pick too.
Gilly Tyler had a pick and a forced fumble.
And a forced fumble.
Hightower went crazy. If he had an interception, mm-hmm. he probably should have made it off that. I had a case for it as well. But when you don't give it to someone in a 13-3, I was like, why would they give it in a blowout when it's 40-something? Yeah. They're going to give it to an offensive player. Like, that's even easier when they score 40 points.
And Jules did play great. 10 for 140, you know, but that was a defensive mastery game. The problem was they hated it. And then I was sitting watching, and people I'm with, they like, oh, the Super Bowl. I'm like, I am loving this Super Bowl.
It was master class.
This is mastery. This is a master class. It happened. So people who don't know, quarterbacks have a clock. They have just for the fans that don't know, a lot of y'all do. You got people who have mics or, you know, headphones in their helmet where they're hearing the call. So when y'all hearing the coach talk, he's talking to either quarterback or defensively is usually the mic linebacker. Well, it has a time. So y'all know we got a play clock. Well, that time ticks down, and after a certain time, the coach can't talk to the quarterback anymore, or he can't talk to the linebacker anymore. Bill is such a savant. He made y'all not move, right, or adjust until that time. Like, so now,
till the 15 seconds, till 15 when they seconds talk to him.
Where he couldn't talk no more. So Jared Goff had to figure it out on his own. Sean McVay all year was telling him what to do. Check this. If this happened, look at this. Okay, do this, this, and this. So Bill was like, all right, we're just waiting till the time go off. My guys are smart enough. They more prepared. Boom. And he couldn't do that. I said, oh, my God. Y'all, to me, y'all have no idea, because I love the game, and I was more of a technician than an explosive athlete, that I used my mind.
Explosive. Get out of here.
I had a good get off.
Don't downplay yourself. That was weak.
My mind. It was this guy. His mind. So when I'm watching Bill do this, I'm like, man, that is freak. I wouldn't even thought of that. Bill is, anyway, but that's why Bill's Bill. But point we made.
Jared over there acting like he's not a freaking nature.
My swag was through the roof. It was my swag. Crazy. My swag carried me through my career, baby. It was athleticism. I walk on the field like, you can't
that's
see
hilarious.
Me. Yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but you're Batman, but you're a different Batman. You an athletic freak Batman.
Batman with some super soldier serum, you feel me?
Don't downplay yourself. You was that dude.
Yeah, but to your point, you know that. And then how do you feel about, because the game was the game. We got the win or whatever.
Blowout.
There's a couple things that I want to ask you about. A.J. Brown's comments, did you see him?
Yeah.
Okay, A.J. Brown's comments, and how does this propel Jalen Hurts into elite conversation? I don't think he's elite, but does it propel him to elite conversation? And do you feel like he'll start getting credit now? Because to me, we had a question on the network was, does Jalen Hurts need to win this in order to shut up the naysayers? And I said, it won't matter whether he does or not, because people are going to say they got here and everything on Saquon's back. Even if he wins MVP, it was the Saquon show.
Yeah.
Jalen doesn't
even
care.
You can see it's still Saquon show after the Super Bowl.
And that's what I said.
Even though he didn't have a great game.
No, I said it's not going to matter. It's going to be the Saquon show. That's just what it is. Jalen doesn't care, but the question was, will the naysayers shut up? And I'm like, they won't
because
Saquon did what he did. So those
but
are my two questions.
At the end of the day, I will say this. You are judged by how you play in the big games.
Yeah.
And that's why I think his stock goes up. Because back-to-back times been in those games, he has balled out. And you have to give him credit for that. Because that's what you want. Some quarterbacks, and that's where the
level, you have some quarterbacks at where you're like, well, why, you know, mm-hmm. why aren't you doing this then? That's why you got to give Jalen Hurts credit. That dude's a gamer. And when the lights are the brightest, excuse me. So I do think his stock goes up. Mm-hmm. Now, elite to me is when you don't have the best O-line in football, when you don't have all your weapons, when you don't have an elite defense. That's when you go up in that category. Mm-hmm. That's why I put Joe Burrow in there, because he got sacked 10 times in a game and still found a way to win. Like, that's elite to me. So that's where – but Jalen Hurts is on his way. Mm-hmm. Now
– that's what I'm saying. Does this put him in the elite conversation? I don't think he's elite, but you put him in – does this put him in – at least now we can start talking like, okay, this is two games in a row. This dude that did this, you know.
He's balled out in two mm-hmm. Super Bowls. He's won one. He's now a Super Bowl MVP. You have to have the he now has an argument.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some talking heads think Eli Manning is elite because of how he performed when the lights were brightest and beating the teams that he beat.
Yeah.
Like, whether you like it or not, those are people's arguments.
Got him as a Hall of Fame finalist.
There you go. And so, to me, you know, he's well on his way. Now, that's where I'm different, is I got to see it when you don't have an A.J. Brown mm-hmm. and a Devontae Smith and the best O-line in football. Now, to your second point of A.J. Brown, I'm not surprised. I mean, he's kind of expressed that the entire year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of what he wants. And so, you know, actions speak louder than words to me. He had actions in the game to a certain degree. So, like, I'm not surprised. But at the same time, I want my number one star receiver to act like that, you know? That means he's falling in line with all the rest of them. All the rest of the greats are like that.
Do you think that's his chip? Reason, I wasn't okay with the post, but I was okay with it. And let me explain. I get what he was trying to say. Like, okay, you went, because
right after?
That's what I'm saying. I got friends who won championships with Seattle when they beat Denver. And I asked him, man, you got a ring? He's like, man, I don't care about that ring. I need money. That ring, I got a Super Bowl, whatever. I want money. I want more money.
Yeah.
Some people downplay championships. Some people win championships, and it's not the ultimate goal for them. It's not the – and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But you just won the championship, and a couple days later, you're downplaying the fact that you won a championship. Yeah. And the way he wrote it was almost like, he didn't write, this ain't enough for me. We need to get back. I need more. One ring ain't enough. This team can be a dynasty. We just broke a dynasty. This team can be, take their place, this, and this. We dominated them. Now we can dominate. That's not what he said.
Yeah.
He said, when I dominate, when I am the one who looks at that guy and says, I'm better than you. It's the path to get to dominating him, not team success.
Mm-hmm.
He could have meant team success, but that's not what he wrote.
Yeah.
So when it comes across, a lot of people are, oh, y'all putting too much into it. I'm going off what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, winning the Super Bowl wasn't what I thought it was. I get more of a thrill with prepping and preparing for a season so I can dominate my opponent.
And I just think that's crazy, in my head.
2 days after the Super Bowl, it's like, okay, you need a guy like that with an edge, but also you see what happens if he's not getting that. Because now the talk all year was, it's about the team, and it don't really matter to me. If I need to block, I need to block. We just want to win and this. That's nah. And then you write that? Nah, bro. Nah, come on, player.
And you also got to see what, like, the sideline stuff.
Yeah, like, what are you doing on the sideline?
Like, I don't care if you're reading a book, but it's the antics.
Yeah, like, and it's like, you, if that's who you are, just let that be who you are. Everybody has a stigma. All right. Yep. Wide receivers are divas. That's okay. Just be a diva, but don't play both sides of the fence. Yeah. Like, be a diva. Yeah. If you
like your boy Tyreek right now.
Yeah, like if you about getting yours, be about getting yours, bro. Yeah. Be like that and let us, hey man, he just about him and getting his. At least we know what we getting. If I'm walking into a situation and they say, hey, dude over there that murdered five people, I can't get in there and be mad when you try to stab me in the neck. They told you before you walked in the room the dude was a murderer. At least I know you a diva. Now I know how to act accordingly. Yeah. Okay, if he don't get the ball, y'all know how he is. So as an offensive coordinator, hey, get him a couple touches early. We ain't got to deal with that. We can get into the floor offense. We got Saquon Moore. We got this and this. But we know we got to get him his touches early. Let him get comfortable. Let's move forward. And then we can play our game. At least they know now. But to play both sides of the line, like, especially 2 days after, I'm sitting here like, that's how he's
You haven't even done the parade yet. Like, you haven't even done the whole experience. Like, you can't say that until months go by.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
2 days after, that means he was more concerned about what he did in the game and how he played than the team dominating. And it's like, that could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I bet you we are completely wrong.
I'm admitting that I could be completely wrong. I'm giving how I seen what I read.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. And that's the problem.
Everything, though. Action and what you read.
That's the problem with these encrypted messages, man. Just say, hey, look, bro, we won, but I wanted more yards. Like, say that. So I can know, but who cares?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm always like that, too. Like, if you're a guy too, you can do that.
Yeah,
like he's a guy. Like he can say that. You're making $25 million.
You see what T.O. said when he going back and forth with Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin holding up these belts. He like, yeah, you know, these things is heavy. This and this. T.O. responded with, "Hey, you seen what I did in the Super Bowl? Like he like, we lost, but you see what I did."
Yeah.
On a broken leg. Like, so you talking about, but what did I do? You know, some guy, and that's okay. So, anyway, that's how I feel about it.
So, I guess for me, my question to you is I have two questions. What did you learn in this game on both sides, the Eagles and the Chiefs? And then what do you think was the wildest moment in the game? Where you were like, oh, man.
I think that one thing that I've been seeing all year, actually over the last 2 years, is Patrick Mahomes doesn't diagnose defenses prior to as much as people think. He's great at seeing what he sees and then creating afterwards. Whereas Tom, who did an interview, when we talk with people, always want to do this GOAT thing. I don't think Patrick Mahomes should be in the conversation yet. He got a lot more to do and a lot more time. Don't put all that on him.
A fire start, though.
Don't put that on him right now, but it's lit. All right, we're here. All right. But they do it two different ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, they both eating gourmet meals. One is cooking his meal prep, and the other one is going out and getting his gourmet meal. But they both gourmet meals. One of them just is meal prep. I'm doing it before. Then the other one, I'm going out and getting it. But when your O-line is not up to par, we've seen multiple times over the last couple of seasons, and we've seen in the Super Bowl in 2020, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes diagnoses defenses prior to as well as people thought. Yes, he's great at creating. He's great at creating. That's what he does best. That's what makes him him. That's what separates him from everybody else, is his ability to create. He can make every throw, and he's great at improvising. But Tom said his superpower was diagnosing what you could do before we snap the ball. If we come up to the ball and you're not in what I need you in, then I'm changing the play.
Yes.
All right? I'm not going to just run the play just because that's what's called, or I think, oh, if this ain't here, I can go here. No, I'm not going to look at my first read and then go to my set. No, I'm just going to change the play completely.
So, G, my question to that is,
How do you change that when four guys up front are dominating the way they did?
If when that's happening, you don't have time to create afterwards. You have to do it prior to. That's what made Tom so great. I know I got to deal with these animals, so I got to do it before the play because I won't have time afterwards to look here, look here, look here. I don't have time for that. Yeah. So I need to give us the best call for this, what they're giving us. Okay, they didn't blitz, so they clearly are in the coverages they in. They wasn't sending pressure. Yeah. So this is another reason why I say we can't just jump Patrick Mahomes to the top because we ain't seen him without Andy Reid. Yeah. Andy Reid does a lot of this for them. He draws it up. Right. So until I see him outside of Andy Reid's system doing something, we've seen Tom in multiple offenses. When they won with the Bucs, Tom went upstairs and said, hey, let me do this. Let me do it my way. And they went on a run and didn't lose again.
Yeah.
Until I see that, then... So I think that
that's fair.
And the diagnosing before the play, I think he doesn't do it as well as people think. But afterwards, if you're not on him, he's going to kill you. Yeah. It's just what's going to happen. And the craziest moment, I think, is for me. This is for me. Xavier Worthy just, okay, where was this all year? What the heck? Where has this been?
That's a fair point.
See me tell me you ran a 4-2. Everybody was so freaking scared. Oh, y'all gave Kansas City Xavier. Well, oh, my gosh. We allowed this to happen. We ain't see what we thought was going to see until the Super Bowl. Where was this at all year? Dude went stupid. That's to me, that's the craziest thing I've seen in the game.
Yeah.
Where has this been all season? If they were doing that all season? I mean, granted, they won all them games, but now everything changes. Philly plays you different. Everything changes with how people – but moving into next year, we need more of that from Xavier Worth.
No, those are all fair points. I mean, I don't think I – mine's even – my wildest thing was the halftime show.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a whole different conversation.
But hey, ain't no commercial breaks on this one, y'all. Yeah, so we get right into it. Halftime show. What'd you think?
Oof. I love Kendrick because I'm from West Coast.
Of course.
I was disappointed because he has hits. I was disappointed he didn't play anything from Mad City. I thought I was going to be up there, you know, singing Money Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Good Kid. I can't even think of the name. Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Swimming Pools. Mm-hmm. All of those songs. All of, you know, his hits. And, you know, yeah, I don't know. That was just me. I thought, and I love Kendrick. And everybody knows, like, I play Kendrick. Everybody's like, that's not the type of music we're trying to listen to. I love Kendrick. But I also love Drake.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, if I'm on the top of the mountain Super Bowl audience, I don't think I'm dedicating it to another person. That's just me.
Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed, but I still thought there was some elite. I thought it was dope to see a music video the whole time.
Yeah.
I loved Peekaboo. That whole segue was sick. And then obviously the ending part with Mustard, turn the TV off. Fire. Mm-hmm.
I think that he went up there to send a message instead of perform. He performed while sending a message. The revolution will be televised. You picked the wrong one. Having Samuel Jackson play Uncle Sam, calling what he's doing ghetto. The ending, obviously, you know, dedicated to Drake and being sued and all that. I just think he went up there to send a message instead of just perform his hits.
Yeah.
And that's hit or miss with your fans.
Correct.
If I'm a fan of you, all right, man, you sent a message all summer. We got it. Now let's dance. We got it. If you're at the Super Bowl, it's supposed to be a performance. So you need to play
that's
your
hits.
That's
what I'm saying.
And
like,
that's
you're
why
at...
everybody wanted Wayne, because they wanted to rock out to what Wayne does with his hits. And
Usher, exactly what Usher did,
Usher did, yes.
That was fire.
Yeah, and with Kendrick, it was a... The performance was phenomenal. I love the performance. I love the camera work. I loved all of it, the mind behind it. But
correct. I agree with that.
Enough, not enough with the message. That just wasn't, I guess it was the platform. But did the message
get across while he's on tour overseas, like, selling out everything? Like,
it's like, you know, I really enjoyed the halftime show, but I have to be honest. It's not going to be received great because the halftime show, we want to be like, man, like that's our time to get away from the sport and enjoy whoever this person is.
Yeah.
And for that, it was like, is he going to do Not Like Us? Is he going?
We knew he was going to do
it. We knew he was going to do it. Like, I don't know why y'all thought he was going to get up there and not do it.
Yeah.
But everything else, it was the problem was with the controversy of when he got picked was this is Wayne City. Wayne should be up there. And my argument was the NFL want to make money. That dude is the money maker right now. They going with him. But the fans of Kendrick said, wait, hold up. Y'all downplaying Kendrick's hits. Like you just said.
Yeah.
That dude can have a halftime performance with tons of hits.
Yeah.
And he just didn't do that. He went up there to send a message. He rapped well.
Yeah.
A lot of what he did.
Like I said, the music video was sick. It was awesome.
That's what I'm saying. So
okay,
next
question. Who do you want to see next?
I am still, you talk about a show, hits. Performance, I am still advocating for Chris Brown to get the halftime
show.
Yo,
bro, that's what mine was going
to
be.
I am advocating for, if you've never been to a Chris Brown concert, you haven't seen, there's some people who perform where you know nobody ever will do that.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson for sure. I never seen him in person, but when you watch his concerts, you like, all right, only he can.
Crazy.
If you've ever been to a Beyonce concert, you know that lady levitates even when she's not levitate. She is just, it's like her feet ain't on the ground. She sings beautifully. She performs her life away. Her being her is no surprise when you go watch her in person. Chris Brown has a very like this level of production. But the performance is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Mars is like that. His very production's down here. But the performance, Chris Brown needs a halftime show. And y'all will see what a halftime show looks like.
I don't think they'll do it because of
the Rihanna situation, he'll never be up there.
Jay-Z, all that.
He'll never be up there. But if you're asking me, that's my pick, man.
I agree with Chris Brown
needs a halftime show, man.
I think it would be elite.
It would be beyond elite.
Yeah.
Yes. And then at that point, did you see the video of the Michael Jackson thing he was going to do with Ciara?
Yeah.
Just the practice. The practice has millions upon millions of views. Just the practice session. Imagine what the performance would. Oh, my.
I still think if he didn't have what he did was stupid. Man, he would have been Michael Jackson.
Yeah. He would have. The level amount of Grammys and his status and all that with how skilled and talented he is, his longevity.
Yeah.
Since he's been 15 years old, look at him now. He's just still winning Grammys. His music is just as good. He's just as entertaining and he's talented. Just getting better.
Yes.
Like he's singing, dancing, acting, he do it all.
Yeah.
And I'm going to end with this. We got to learn to forgive, man. Like people make mistakes. I understand the severity of what happened, but it was years ago, man. You got to allow people to grow, allow people to change. And, you know, like we've seen a lot of redemption stories, man. I think Chris Brown really should get a shot at the suit. He just won at the most prestigious award you can get. He finally got his. Okay. They've accepted him. Can we please, NFL? Like, just Jay-Z. Come on, dog.
That ain't happening, bro.
I know. Whatever.
Okay, two more questions before we're done. Back to the game back to offseason. Where does Kansas City go? Cap hits are crazy, you know? And what would you like to see from the Eagles?
I want to see the Eagles. I want to see consistency. We've seen people come through and do it once. The Eagles are been Super Bowl two of our last 3 years. But now I want to see the young guys be consistent. We know how talented they are. We know how gifted they are. I want to see where they go from here. Kellen Moore is now the head coach for the New Orleans Saints. Who's going to take this? But did they hire anybody yet?
We need an Audi for that one.
Yeah, I don't think they hired anybody yet. But I want to see who's going to take his place. How's the offense going to look? Who's going to want money? Does
everybody wants money?
Everybody's going to want money.
Josh Sweat.
That's what I'm saying. So
all of them.
Yes. Milton Williams won't be there.
Yeah.
I think he's going to leave and get paid.
Yeah.
We don't know what Zach Bond's going to happen with Zach Bond. I
want
to
see Josh Sweat.
That I think they're going to need him. They're going to need Nolan Smith. Like, he played well in the playoffs.
You still have a big contract with Bryce Huff that's not talked about.
Yeah, but they going to get off him. They're going to get off him. They benched him and they ain't lost the game. Sorry, man. They benched my man and lost one game since. Oh, you was the problem. Man, go sit down, man. Yeah, but, you know, I think Nolan Smith is taking that next step. That's what I'm saying. I want to see if the young guys can be consistent.
I think they'll let Josh Sweat slide because they like that Jalix. I think it's his name's Jalix, right? Hunt.
Oh, 58? Yeah, Hunt. Yeah, yeah.
Young kid.
Yeah, Hunt is
that
nice.
They drafted.
Hunt is nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, Josh Sweat might not be. So, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat. We don't know if Zach Bond will be there. So, these young guys.
They're going to want Zach Bond back. But
I want to
if
see,
I'm Zach Bond, you got this Super
you know
Bowl.
What I
you got
see?
That. You got to get the money now, brother.
I want to see the maturation of Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. I want to see them be the most feared tandem in all of football, of any position.
Yeah, I think Jordan Davis could take it to another level, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I want to see.
I think you could see a little bit. He wasn't – I wouldn't ever call it jealousy, but his brother going off might be like a kick in his butt, like, oh, I can't let him pass me up.
If Jordan Davis – can stay on the field and work on, like, he needs to become a guy who's an every down guy, not a, you know, not
run stopper.
Yeah. And
but once you get pigeonholed, G.
Yeah, I know. Woo, I know, but
it
I mean,
is hard
at, but
to
at
break.
He's a starter though. At some point they have to, he has to show them, like, go to them, show them first and then go to, hey, listen, this is who I'm going to be. We just won a Super Bowl, but for me, I want to take my game to the next level. I'm going in the offseason. When I come back, you'll see. I don't have to say it. This is who I'll be. I'll show you. Go get right in the offseason. Come back and just show them.
Get me fired up.
Come back and just show them. So that's for the Eagles. That's what I want to see.
Okay.
For Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes sat on that bench and said, we'll be back here. I want to see if Kansas City – it's done. They got Travis Kelce, who's teasing retirement. Chris Jones.
What do you think? Okay, real quick. What do you think?
He'll be back.
Wow. I think he'll retire.
You know what? You might be right because he just looked over it. He looked over it. Travis might be done. He might
he saw
done.
His brother's life.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, he's making
yeah,
money.
He's living it
he's,
up. Yeah, he might
he
be
living
done.
It up.
Yeah, Travis might be done.
I might want to get in
it
that
wasn't
marriage life.
I honestly think he did this to try and three-peat. You're right. You might be right. Yeah, he might be done. Chris Jones is getting older. They don't have a replacement for him.
No, they don't.
Find, there's nobody there where I'm like, okay, they got to. Like Jalen Carter, they drafted him.
In their front
had a year
seven.
Under Fletch.
You like
got Jordan Bolden. Davis. Yeah, they got these guys in while Fletcher was still there. He left, usher him right in. They got Juergens. Right?
Cam Juergens, the center.
Center.
Yeah.
For Philly.
Yep.
While Kels was there. Usher
correct.
Him right in. All right, yep. Cool. Kansas City don't have a tight end replacement. They don't have a Chris Jones
no
replacement.
No Gray.
They don't have a tight end replacement. They don't have Chris Jones replacement. The running back situation is up in the air. Okay. The wide receiver, they keep asking people to come back. You know, for whatever, you know,
O-line.
We don't know what's going to happen. O-line is shaky. That's what I'm saying.
Losing Trey Smith, most likely. That's what I'm saying. He's about to get dumb paid.
Yeah, so Kansas City. I mean, as long as 15 and Andy Reid is there, but yeah. Andy Reid is...
He's getting older.
He ain't no spring chicken.
Yeah.
You know, so if we start to see, and then Spags, let's take a step back. We are forgetting this is a formula we got here. We got Andy Reid and Spags. That's mm-hmm. the start of the formula. Spags goes down to Chris Jones and McDuffie, and then we kind of go from there.
Yep.
Offensively, you got Andy Reid down to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and we go from there. Kelce might be done. On the other end, Spags, him being in place is why this thing has been this way. If Spags mm-hmm. say, hey, all right, it's time for me to go get mine. So I think from what I'm hearing internally from coaches, they're going to try and give it one last go, and then we'll see. So all right. Everything's going to look different next year. I tell you that. I tell you this. Look out for Buffalo making a big move to try and like, all right, it's time. This it now it's time.
They now or never
are bleeding. Now it's time. Now it's time. But
what about my team?
But let me finish. But there's a team in purple. There's a team in purple that has a big, big, big dumb middle finger waiting to throw it up at everybody. Keep counting us out. Keep counting us out. Everybody's bleeding. Y'all were a couple bad mistakes away from being in New Orleans. I believe if y'all get past that, y'all are in New Orleans. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kansas City. Y'all said y'all be back. I don't see it. But, you know, that number eight, he's pissed.
He's pissed.
He's pissed.
He's pissed.
Y'all, okay.
He's pissed.
He's pissed.
He's hella
pissed.
He lost
the way he lost. They stole the MVP. Let me not say that.
I don't even think he cares about all that. I'm sorry, Josh Allen.
No, let me not do
that. Yeah.
Josh Allen played well enough to win MVP. But all of this stuff happened over, you know, I don't think he cares about MVP, but whatever.
Yeah.
He's pissed about how this just happened.
He's pissed. I'll say it one more time. He's pissed.
Derrick Henry's pissed.
That defense is pissed off. Oh, yeah. Defense is pissed.
Kyle Van Noy was down in New Orleans like, hey, I'm going to work. I'm working. But yeah. Yeah, I've been to this place, not New Orleans, but in this time of the year, I've been here for the right reasons. This ain't why I'm used to being here.
Yeah.
So, that's the off season,
but
yeah,
yeah,
that's the off season outlook for me. As far as Gerald goes, we got some stuff brewing, y'all.
Let's go.
We got some stuff brewing, y'all. Y'all stay tuned. But one final thank you to Killer. Love you, my brother. Addy and Brett, love y'all. Yahoo Sports, thank y'all for believing in us. Believing in us and what this thing can be. Thank you for continuing to believe in us. And, of course, thank you to our families who sacrificed time. Killer with being in season. His wife was able to meet his wife. Sweetest lady ever. And the time she sacrificed for Killer to do what he does. My wife, she's in there cooking right now, y'all.
Let's go.
And she needed help. And she was like, I told her I had to film the show. She was like, go do what you got to do, man. Don't underestimate what our families have to deal with us doing this. So love y'all families when y'all see this. But ultimately, the fans, again, big, big, big shout out to y'all, man. We would not be us without y'all. So we love y'all so much. And stay tuned, man. This is just the season finale. This is not it. It's not the show finale. It's the season finale.
Ooh-wee.
Just season one, thanks so much, everybody.
Appreciate it. G, thanks again. Yahoo Sports, thanks again. Fans, thank you, thank you, thank you. We cannot wait to share our off season with you when we return. We're just excited for the future, and we're excited for the present because we're going to come back. And guess what? When we come back, we coming back.
We gonna be back. But for right now, we out. Peace.